pursue a spiritual life with respect, and I'm going to go all the way with it. And they didn't really believe me. As I got older, I started doing more and more practices and meditations, and near me there was a very great master from Tibet, and I started attending his teachings, and they started not being happy, and I became very unhappy because I couldn't see myself going to school, college, and doing what they wanted. So I left home at 16. It was my third attempt at running away, and I left from New Jersey to New York. I hitchhiked. From New York, I hitchhiked through the southern route, Route 9, across the United States to Los Angeles. And when I went across the United States, I slept outside. And I slept under bridges. I slept in plastic bags. I slept in boxes. I begged for food. I had about $40, $50 in my pocket. And it wasn't a difficult time because, you know, I was 16, I was young, I was strong, and, you know, and I was determined. I had two bags with me. One bag had my clothes that I had bought. The other bag had a lot of my spiritual books and my statues and my rosary, my prayers. And I ran across. And when I arrived in Los Angeles, I stayed with a step cousin, which is a relative of theirs, for a few months. I got a job at McDonald's, moved out, and moved to a Dharma center. And from there, I met my teacher's teacher, went to India. In 1987, I was 23. And I was ordained by His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, in 1987, December, and no regrets about that. And then 1988, I went down to South India and joined the monastery. And in the monastery, I starved for 4 or 5 years, because the monastery was very poor, very, very, very poor. There was 2,000 of us monks. Most of us are very poor, and I was very, very skinny. Young. Anyways, the magic word here is was. I don't look like a refugee anymore. I do not look like I should go on the streets and help you guys get food because I might intimidate the people there. Anyways, I might even eat your food. In a monastery, I starved also. And because there was very little. And how we starved was we basically ate fried barley flour or corn flour, fried, mixed with some tea and into balls, and we'd eat that. And that went on for years. And I'm not complaining. But I never forgot those lean years. So many years back, I was in Penang with this lovely family, Mr. Soon Lee, Mr. Ham. Yes. His beautiful wife, Patsy, his beautiful family, that's Christina, and their Galvin, and then they have one more kid. I think he's in Mars. He's very creative, somewhere in Mars. I stayed with their family, and from their family, I used to walk to this nearby temple, the Burmese temple, there's two meditations. And what happens is one day we were driving around Penang and I saw some homeless people. And some memories came back of my childhood. And I made a determination in Penang. I'm going to get a van. I'm going to have a soup kitchen. I'm going to start something that helps people directly, irregardless of their race, their religion, their background, what country, who they are. Because when you're hungry, you're hungry. I don't care who you are. And if we are really spiritual and we are good people, it doesn't matter what religion we are. And you don't have to be Buddhist. It does not matter. But if you're hungry, we need to take care of the individual because they're hungry. Because they're in need. Because we can do something good. And to take food and to go near the person and give it to them with two hands. To look in their eyes with respect. To look into their face and to ask them, is it enough? Do you need more? And to do that with love will change the life of that person even on the streets. Do you know why? Nobody respects them. Everybody kicks them. Everybody shuns them. How do I know? Because I was one of those people in America. I was on the streets and people wouldn't look at me. Do you know I would look at people in the eye and say, can I please have some food? They would avoid my eye contact and they would go real quick because I could be a threat to their family. They don't know. I don't blame them. And I know how it is to be shunned, and to be hated, and to be looked down upon because they don't know who you are. And so, I never forgot those days. And so I decided to start giving food in Penang. So from their house, we ran around, gave, you know, a few dishes because I didn't have much money either. And then when I came back to KL, I started contacting a few of my friends and students and said, you know, let's just get food. We were giving 14 bags a week. And that's what we were doing. So I put in some, I started this department, KSK, and through a lot of evolution and learning and analysis and trying, I finally put my longtime student and friend, Ruby, into the position as president, because she's been a very good friend of mine and a very wonderful student, and she basically helped me in so many ways that I'll talk about in my book in the future. It's really like my sister, actually. And when I have the support of her husband and her family and her extended family, her sisters, her sister's husband, and well, he came from Mars too. And here we are, doing KSK. And what is it? I want this department to grow. Do you know why? Because we can do something wonderful for people. And you know why it's wonderful? Because we don't want anything back from them. We don't wish anything back from these people. So whether you're Buddhist, Christian, Hindu, Sikh, Islam, I don't care. But you know what I do care? That we're all people. And we belong to this planet. And if we take some care and love and we take some empathy towards another human being, that's all that matters. Because you know, when we all die, and we will, and we're rotting in the ground, when they come and check our ashes, they don't know what color you were. They don't know what religion you were. They don't know even what color your hair was. Nobody knows anymore. You're dead. But what matters is while we're alive, we use our life for something beneficial for others. And it doesn't have to be religious. That's why my policy has always been, you be what religion you are, and I be what religion I am, and we respect each other, but as human beings, let's work together for the common goal, the betterment of this planet. And you know, this department can inspire so many people around the world, and it has. It has. I've been getting a lot of emails and comments. So therefore, I wanted to thank all of you for caring, for taking your weekend out and going out on the streets to people whose society or they themselves have said, I want to be separate. And we're not doing this to send a message to the government or to the world or anything. We're doing this to send a message to ourselves that we are good people and we can do something good and we can dedicate. So therefore, I'm very happy with Ruby and her team and hardworking Justin. Very hardworking, for doing this so devotedly and so well, because our soup kitchen building is opening soon, and it's just one teeny little building, and I'm not satisfied. I want it to grow bigger. 2 buildings, 3 buildings, 4 buildings. I want 24-hour places there where we make food all the time, where we have showers, rehabilitation, medication, free clinic. This is what I would like to do very much in the future. We would like to have a free clinic in the future. Free. I'm not expecting to operate there, you know, or do sex changes, or do brain transplants, but scrapes, infections, abrasions, we can do. So therefore, please remember, Kichara Soup Kitchen is a Buddhist organization that is not trying to convert the world, but is just trying to tell people, look, we are good people inside. And whatever labels we want, oh, I'm Christian, I'm Buddhist, I'm this, those are just labels. When we came into this world, there was no labels. When we came into this world, we're human beings, we need love and care and compassion, and we need to give it to get it and get it to give it. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters, to give love, not to spread propaganda and weird doctrines and religious dogmas and put other religions down, other people down, other cultures and other faiths down. No. But to respect. And one of the ways is to give food to everyone. That's why I don't like religious institutions who say other religions are not good, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong. No. I have a lot of logical debates on that. What I like is when people say, we're all on the same planet, let's understand each other. Let's get along. Let's just be nice and be compassionate. Let's just help. I like that very much. And that's what Kichara organization represents. So therefore, have you guys done the prayers?
Not yet.
The dedication? Let's do it together. And then I'm going to get lost. Is that what we're going to do right now? You were just going to do it when I walked in. No, I'm not psychic. I'm just... This is a timeless prayer written over 1,000 years ago by a great saint in Nalanda Monastery, a Buddhist saint. But his prayer wasn't directed for Buddhists, it was directed for all of living beings. This is one of my favorites. May all beings everywhere, plagued by suffering of body and mind, abstain by the merit of your prayers. May no living creature suffer or commit evil or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored to fire and repose. May the naked find clothing and the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water to live in the streets. May the poor find wealth, those who seek in sorrow find joy. May the hopeless find hope, constant kindness, and prosperity. May the time of meetings be thoughtful of harvests. May all medicines be effective and hold the prayer to bear fruit. May all those who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in our world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and the people think of men and each other. For as long as faith is remaining, for as long as faith is remaining,
until then, the act of remaining, this is how we need to solve the world.
Remember, through body, speech, and mind, we pass pain to others without wanting to and knowing to. So dedicate it to self that whatever trauma and pain and difficulties you have had, may I find peace. Shanti. That's Shanti Deva has said. And through this peace, may I bring more peace to others. Thank you very much. I'll see all of you again.